This is Mark DeCliveloe, live at the Blue Whale, one of my favorite recordings of 2017. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast. And if you haven't already, subscribe to it on Stitcher and iTunes. I'm Simon Rettner. On this program, we reflect on the past, at least in the short term, looking back at what 365 days brought us, musically speaking. WBGO's Director of Programming, Stephen Williams, joins us and has picked two of his favorite recordings from the past year. One is from a divine singer from Georgia, and the other, a legendary drummer upstate New York in the Hudson Valley. In my recordings, a trumpeter from New Orleans and a multi-instrumentalist from New Zealand. It's our special year-end program we're calling Our Favorite Things, and you'll have to stay locked right here to find out what those things are. Welcome to The Checkout, Steve. What do you have queued up for us?
The band Hudson is on my list as being one of the standout units of the past year. They're known traditionally as an all-star group, right? Which makes me immediately suspicious. I think, okay, all-star group never ever lives up to all of the hype and all the pomp and circumstance that precedes the release of the record. But I have to tell you, when I listened to the music and then when I subsequently went out to see them play in a concert in New York City, I was really impressed. The band does the nearly impossible task of offering up something that is greater than the individual parts within the band.
Well, tell me who's in the band. You're killing me now.
Okay, so it's Jacques DeJohnette playing drums.
The legend.
Yeah, the legend, the myth, the man.
The guy that has the best pocket
ever. He plays one note and you know him immediately. Then there's John Medeski. You may know him from Medeski, Martin, and Wood. Great keyboardist. There's Larry Grenadier playing bass. And then John Schofield playing guitar. Aside from being in this band, all these musicians have geography in common because they all live somewhere in the Hudson Valley, just north of New York City, hence the name of the group Hudson. And in fact, that area is well known for the enclave of great legendary musicians that have either been born there or gravitated there over the course of the last 50, 60, 70 years. Bob Dylan and Jimi Hendrix and many others, including these guys, wound up and were drawn to the area because of the creative spirit, the loose and creative spirit that exists there. So if there's any theme to this record, Simon, you pointed this out to me earlier, it's really about a traveling exercise, right? Traveling backwards and forward through time. And on the record, you'll find tunes that date back to the early 1970s, written by Bob Dylan, for example, and Joni Mitchell, whose tune Woodstock is a part of the program. And that's the tune that I felt that we should listen to today.
Woodstock.
Thank you. heard one of my picks from the band Hudson, an all-star group featuring Jack DeJohnette playing drums, guitarist John Scofield, bassist Larry Grenadier, and keyboardist John Medeski. The tune, you probably recognized it, was Joni Mitchell's Woodstock. Simon, what did you think about that tune?
Joni Mitchell wrote this song in 1970 for her album Ladies of the Canyon, and this is when she was actually dating Graham Nash, the legendary Graham Nash from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and heard about the legendary Woodstock Music Festival from him, and just based on that explanation, she wrote that song, and now rendered by Jack DeJohnette. And I should also mention that I spoke to Jack DeJohnette at the Montreal Jazz Festival about this recording, and he even revealed his Native American spirit name. So if you go to checkoutjazz.org, you can listen to that and subscribe to the podcast.
Mysteries never cease, the mystery of great music making. And Jack DeJohnette, by the way, has lived in Woodstock for decades. I think he moved there right after coming to the area from Chicago, Illinois, which is where he's from. And he'd spent some time playing with Miles Davis and no doubt heard about the buzz that was taking place in Woodstock and the areas surrounding Woodstock, and he had to be there. And here we now have the end result. So, Simon, you've got a couple of picks. Which one are you going to share with us?
Well, an artist that isn't shy to making grandiose statements in general is the trumpeter Christian Scott, who recently changed his name to Christian Scott Atunde Ajua. It wasn't covered very much this year, but we celebrated, or somewhat celebrated, the 100 years of jazz recording in this industry.
And what was that? Wait a minute. Was that the original Dixieland jazz band that made that record in 1917?
Right. On February 26, 1917, Livery Stable Blues.
Now, there's a big back and forth argument about that, because truth be told, the original Dixieland jazz band, many people considered to be, well, let's just say that they weren't necessarily representing the whole of jazz at that time. But nonetheless, it is an important date on the calendar, nonetheless, right?
And the band leader of the original Dixieland jazz band, Nick LaRocca, was known to be a bigoted, racist individual that basically stole everything he heard from King Oliver in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot written about this, which is why we don't talk about it that much on WBGO. But it's still a document.
It's still a part of the history.
It's still part of the history that makes this country fascinating.
Right.
And Christian Scott Atunde Ajua, being from New Orleans, is obviously aware of this history, and so he decided on this date that he would release three albums.
Not just one, huh?
That would be sort of a reflection of the continuation of the entire jazz history, going back to Congo Square, through every sort of development in jazz to even modern day hip hop and trap music. So now here we are in 2017, and where musicians are running around in circles trying to figure out what's the best way we can release music today. And so you have artists that are releasing subscription-only vinyl, where you have to sign up for it and only a limited amount of vinyl are printed. We have Micaiah McRaven, the drummer in Chicago, who only released a limited edition cassette. And then if you look at what Esperanza Spalding is doing, the bassist in her Exposure project, which was really quite revolutionary, where she live streamed her recording of the album for an entire 77 hours that was viewed by over 2.5 million people. That's a strategy too. These are all ways that we are consuming music today, and there is not one strategy. Christian Scott Atunde Ajua decided to put out three albums and announced it on the 100th anniversary of the first jazz recording, and we're going to listen to there's so many standout performances on all three of these records. It was extremely difficult to choose one, but because we actually recorded Christian Scott Atunde Ajua premiering some of this music for the first time, actually, at Berklee College of Music, I thought we would go there. This is called Rise, the Almost Remix. Thank you.
Yeah, that was cool.
Very Miles-esque.
Yeah, it was.
So we recorded the premiere of this track in the instrumental version from his recording Stretch Music, what is originally titled Sunrise in Beijing, at Berklee College of Music, and you can go to our YouTube channel for WBGO and watch that. But here it's remixed for this three-release project. What one of the more fascinating things is what Christian Scott does is this blend of, like you said, electronica and hip-hop and samples versus live instruments. And actually, what you would think that bass hit, you would think that's like an electronic sound, but no, that's Joe Dyson setting up the djembe as a bass drum and hitting it, and it just has that natural huge bass sound. That's just the way it sounds. And it's just incredible how Christian Scott is just melding all of these things together.
The guy defies expectations. And that leads me, Simon, to my next pick, the second of two picks. It's my favorite thing for 2017. Happy New Year. I'm Director of Programming Stephen Williams, and with me, Simon Rettner, host of The Checkout. Now, to somebody who has also, in many ways, defied the expectations that have been placed upon her. Singer Liz Wright.
We lived our little drama.
She comes from a tradition of gospel and R&B and to some degree jazz music. She's released six records, and none of them have been exercises in pigeonholing, right? She has done just about every type of musical exercise in all of those six recordings. And this most recent one, which is called Grace, is no exception. So she started out with her producer, Joe Henry, with 70 songs, and they pared them down to 10. And of those 10, the one that struck me the most was something that would be considered a quote-unquote jazz standard, right? She chose a different approach to this tune, which is called Stars Fell on Alabama. Has been recorded over 100 times by all the great jazz musicians, including Billie Holiday and Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. But Liz decided to break away from that tradition and offer something that was unique and very personal. So let's check it out. Liz Wright from her release, Grace, Stars Fell on Alabama.
A fairy land where no one else could enter. And in the center, just you and me, dear. My heart beat like a hammer. My arms wound around you tight, while stars fell on Alabama last night.
Hearing this tune for the first time, I could hear the Alabama, right? There's something about the timbre of the production here. Some might say, well, it's got a country twang. But I hear it so much more than that. I hear the blues. If you want to call it country, that's fine. I hear that too. But Liz Wright and her producer, Joe Henry, I think nailed it. Our Favorite Things 2017, Director of Programming, Stephen Williams. And
you know what I like about your music, Steve?
And who are you, by the way?
I'm Simon Rettner for The Checkout.
Okay.
Usually. The thing that I like about your pick, Steve, is that this is music that you want to go back to and you want to keep listening to it and repeat. That's such an important part of music that I think gets lost in our modern jazz age. It's like, what is the music that we want to keep listening to on repeat? And Liz Wright, as you said, is part of this generation that doesn't really care about genre so much.
Right.
Genre is less important to just trying to make an authentic sound and do something. Take a standard from 1934, written by Frank Perkins and played by every jazz legend imaginable,
right,
and give it a completely new dimension.
Yeah, Yeah,
and that's what
right.
jazz, and that is the spirit of
that
jazz.
That really is the spirit
of
jazz.
So even if this is country, this is the spirit of jazz.
You're absolutely right. That tune was a standout for me.
I know why you like this recording,
okay.
Steve Williams.
And why is that?
Well, because she's like one of the original African nature princesses she's from America.
she's definitely an original, that's for sure.
And I know your affinity for nature, and she vibes with that. She claims nature is a big part of her inspiration and her sound.
No question about it.
Alabama that you're talking about,
because
you see the nature around.
See and feel the right. You're absolutely right about that. I don't think I could describe it or express it any better than you, Mr. Redner. So now it's time for your second pick, your second favorite thing for 2017. What say you?
Well, I like the way we're going, you know, all over the place. And one of the criteria to make my list is very quite simple. It has to create a vibe, meaning the atmosphere has to change. You want to emotionally connect. You emotionally connect to it, meaning you come back to it repeatedly because it gives you some kind of therapeutic thing going on, like that Liz Wright recording. And one recording that I keep coming back to just for its sense of celebration and party and just innovation and what this dude is doing today that not enough people are talking about is the Kiwi from New Zealand. Lived in London for 10 years, went to Berklee College of Music to study jazz piano, now based in LA, Mark DeClivelo, and we'll just listen to it and then you can hear what I'm hearing. We'll be right back.
What do they say on the street?
What? What?
Well, the first question I have for you, how many musicians did you hear? How many people are playing right there?
Well, you know, I was actually going to ask you. It's hard to determine how many musicians I heard. Certainly more than one, and the one musician in question here is Mark DeClivelo. Is that, how do you spell his name, just so we know?
Yeah, it's Mark D-E, Clive-Lo.
Okay, so hyphenated, Clive. Yes. Okay, and he's from Australia. I didn't know they got that funky down under.
Wow. Yeah, well, he's from New Zealand.
Oh, okay, sorry, New Zealand. Corrected.
He's from New Zealand, but he's half Japanese descent, and then lived in London and part of the original Broken Beat London electronic scene. Before that, though, he was on full scholarship at Berklee College of Music studying jazz piano. And that tune you just heard was his tribute to the great Yusef Lateef for Yusef Lateef L plus H on Ropadope Records. Shout out to Ropadope for putting out both the Christian Scott and the Mark DeClivelo. Really, they are on the forefront of, not really concerned about genre so much, but just putting out amazing music that I want to listen to consistently. Just absolutely phenomenal work by them based in Philadelphia. That was a live take. That was nothing you heard right there was created in a studio. That's four people.
Okay.
Mark DeClivelo playing piano and what he likes to call live electronics, where he has basically four to five, maybe more synthesizers around him, the sequencers, a bunch of samplers. And what he's doing is he's really the only jazz musician that I know that is not only sampling himself, but sampling all other of his three bandmates
in real time,
as a quartet.
Wow.
So you're hearing him sample Josh Johnson on flute and saxophone. So you think you're hearing like three saxophones or a whole saxophone section.
Right.
You're really just hearing one saxophonist sampled multiple times by Mark DeClivelo in real time, live at the Blue Whale. Brandon Eugene Owens on bass and Gene Coy on drums, making up this recording live at the Blue Whale. This band actually has never come to New York.
What's the defining characteristic here that attracts you and your attention to this music? Is it the multiple layers? Is it the creativity? Is it the guy's incredible attention span? I mean, he's got 8,000 things going on all at once, and he's able to keep it together. I mean, what is it about what he does that you find the most attractive?
It's all of those things, but the number one thing is I can dance to this.
Right.
Remember when you could dance to jazz and that was cool?
Oh, yeah. Neither one of us were around then, but, we're talking about the 1920s and 30s and 40s. But you're right. Jazz music at its heart for the first 50-some-odd years of its existence was dance music. It was music that people went out on a Friday night or a Saturday night to party to. And things changed with the advent of bebop and post-bop and hard bop and other creative interest, which, by the way, I don't mean to take anything away from any of those great masters of the art, but they were responsible for a seismic shift in the level of acceptance for the music and the sound. It became less of dance music and much more of a cerebral pursuit, which is cool, but...
And this music has that too.
Yeah, it has that too. You're absolutely right about that. So what is it future-wise for Mark DeClivelo?
My dream for the checkout is to bring this band to New York and throw a dance party.
Okay.
And I want everyone out to come out and see seriously what this dude is doing.
Well, it's a great exercise for New Year's Day, sort of looking back, but really looking forward, and a great way to conclude our very enjoyable exchange, Mr. Rentner. This has been a lot of fun sharing our favorite things, your couple of recordings, Mark DeClivelo and Christian Scott, and my two, Hudson and Liz Wright, the four recordings we that stood out the most for us over the past calendar year. And there'll be other members of the WBGO family that'll be coming on board shortly with their favorite things from 2017. Thanks so much, Simon, for hanging out. It's been a lot of fun.
lot of fun.
Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year
Happy
to
New
you,
Year.
Bruh.
Happy New Year to you and everyone out there.
All right.
Evergreen, Mark DeClive Lowe, live at the Blue Whale, one of my favorite recordings of 2017, and joining Liz Wright, Christian Scott, Atunde Ajua, and Jack DeJohnette, wrapping up today's edition of The Checkout, our favorite things with our director of programming at WBGO, Stephen Williams. Thanks to him for joining us. If you want to learn about more of our favorite things, our favorite recordings of 2017 from all of the announcers here on WBGO, you can keep it locked to WBGO.org, where we'll be publishing articles where all of our announcers are choosing their favorite recordings of the year, including if you go there now, you can subscribe to a podcast we recorded at the National Jazz Museum in Harlem with our director of editorial content, Nate Shenen. He and a panel of critics chose their favorite recordings, and we made a lovely podcast out of that as well you can subscribe to. And if you do, you can also download my conversation with Thundercat, and his recording, Drunk, made my top 10 list as well. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.